This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Do our memories define us? How much does race matter? Will overpopulation end the world as we know it? These are big questions and seemingly unanswerable questions, and they may confound many of us, but my guest today was ready to face them head on when she was just 14 years old. Hannah Clementine started writing when she was 9 and recently released her debut novel, Nothing But Your Memories. It's a sci-fi exploration of a future when overpopulation forces the creation of a new society in which bodies and time are shared. Hannah is from Asheville but is currently living in Durham, where she's a junior at North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics, and she joins me in the studio today. Hannah Clementine, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You started writing when you were 9 years old?
I did. I used to write a lot of little short stories, sometimes during church, but I had a lot of fun writing.
Is that, I mean, had you been thinking about writing before then? That was the first time you actually got the courage up to write?
Or? I mean, that was the first time I can remember formulating stories and not just little snippets.
What kinds of stories were you writing?
Lots of stuff like the books Warriors about animals and talking horses and stuff like that.
Cool. What were you reading at the time?
The Warriors books. Starting to get into sci-fi probably. I really liked Redwall, all those books.
I see.
Also about talking animals.
So you wrote this book, I understand, Nothing But Your Memories, in 4 weeks. Is that right?
I did. I got out of school, and I was hoping for an opportunity to find a contest like this. And when I found it, I saw that the deadline was only 4 weeks away. So I sat down and I wrote a book.
Tell us about the contest.
The contest is the BookLogix Young Writers Contest, hosted by BookLogix in Georgia. It is a young writing contest for two different age categories for all of North America, and you submit your book-length manuscript, and the winner gets it published.
4 weeks. So tell us about the premise of this novel.
Well, the premise of the novel is that overpopulation was running rampant, and a drastic solution was needed. So the concept that came out of this was the alternation of generation nation, where people share both time and bodies. Their memories are put on chips, and then the chips are stored in between years where they live. They live one out of every 10 years in a rotating cycle.
This is like a timeshare for human life, right? You sort of go into hibernation, then you re-inhabit your life, and then but you share a shell with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that phrase again? The generation for...
Alternation of generation.
Alternation of generation. Give me the whole phrase. What was that again?
The alternation of generation nation.
Was that a phrase that had been rattling about in your head for a long time, or has that come to you as you started writing this novel?
I got it from freshman biology. It has to do with plant life cycles. And then nation was tacked on the end.
Then you added nation. So you've got this idea of kind of a timeshare for human lives because we just don't have enough space on the planet for all of you, but we just keep coming.
Right.
And then you get there, you come up with this an idea for a chip for memories that gets kind of transplanted. So tell us about that, where the idea came from and how it works.
The idea for that I actually came up with a long time ago. I do not remember exactly where it came from, but when I was looking for a concept for the book, I looked back and found that idea, and I further developed it out. But I guess the idea is that you are defined by your memories, and if you could store them somehow, then I suppose you could put them in different bodies and still be yourself.
So how does this work now? You've got the chip, and that's got, you know, my essential memory, so my life is stored in there. But the body, that's the thing that we have to share, right? So the chip then goes in and out of this one body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because that allows you to explore these concepts like body image and race and all of the things that have been marked by our bodies that are also part of our identities and distinguish those from memories.
Yes.
That's a big idea, you know.
I know.
Had you been thinking about those things for a long time, or did they? Because they can emerge as you start.
Yeah.
You have this cool idea, and then you realize, oh my goodness, there are concepts.
Yeah. I think the idea definitely came before the story. But I guess I was thinking about what you could do with an identity chip and, like, what are the implications of sharing bodies. And I think I thought of the idea of sharing bodies and then realized the implications of that along the way and kept realizing, oh, my gosh, like, race is gone. Disabilities are gone. A lot of things like that. And it just kind of kept coming.
Then you have the problem of what you put in that memory. So much of what's in our memory is those or are those markers that we have to contend with whether we want to or not, our white maleness, our Latina femaleness, whatever it is. So did you find yourself having to change the concept of the book? You didn't have time, 4 weeks.
I did not.
But were things changing quickly because you thought, oh, my goodness, this really no longer applies now that we have the body extracted from the memory?
When I was writing it, I didn't so much come across contradictions that I had to go back and change. But I came up with, I saw new ways to incorporate how a race and ethnicity would be impacted in this. For one character's name is Faustino, clearly of Hispanic origin, but he is in a Caucasian shell. And so does he claim his heritage from his memories or from his shell? I mean, it depends.
What were your ideas about identity going into this book?
I don't know exactly where I stand on are your memories who you really are. I feel like you are identified by more than that because memories are, you can remember them in different ways. But the idea was fascinating. I wanted to explore it more.
And then there are sort of group identities too,
yes.
And group memories.
Mm-hmm.
People do have a shared
right.
identity that comes out of a memory of how
course.
We have been treated or how we have been privileged in a certain community. That gets passed on to you,
mm-hmm.
stored in memory, and reinforced, of course, every day by the way you are
yeah.
or are not followed
mm-hmm.
at the mall, are or are
right.
not pulled over for no
exactly.
reason, et cetera. Those ideas of your identity being part of your
mm-hmm.
skin color
of course.
Get reinforced. Did you think much about that? I mean, let's take racial profiling as
right.
an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that happens every day on the streets of every
yeah.
city
mm-hmm.
in our country, and it's a problem. It's a serious problem in our criminal justice system. And it gets harder and harder to get mm-hmm. convince
right.
people that it is a problem. Do you worry about that? I mean, is that something that's on your mind as you write a book like this?
I guess, in the idea of the nation, the shells were supposed to erase that tension. So the shells were supposed to be viewed as like a solution to this problem. So saying that, yes, it is a problem, although in this case, the solution was not to make everyone play more fairly, but to force them to play fairly by being in the same shells.
Well, a hierarchy gets neutralized, I mm-hmm. guess, in a number of ways. In one way, I mean, people stay the same age as
right,
well. That's
right.
another hierarchy mm-hmm. that's erased. So explain how that works.
Well, no matter how old your memories are coming in, your shell is going to be the same age physically as everyone else is. So I guess the older, wiser people may sort of eventually lead you back to the top of society. But the society hasn't really been around long enough for that to be explored.
Tell us about Mira or Myra, since
mm-hmm.
I've only
Mira.
Read her name. It is Mira, M-I-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about her.
Well, she's kind of spunky, a little defiant, very suggestible to her surroundings, I think. At the core of who she is, she knows where she wants to be. But at the same time, she's very influenced by what she sees, what everyone else is doing. And I don't know.
Can I read for you? Better
of course.
Yet, would you read for us?
Alrighty.
That's even better, I think.
Okay. I knew it. As I lay in a white bed in a white room with white light filtering in through the shade on the window, I know it has finally happened. The shift is complete. As soon as I open my eyes, I regret it. I wish I could just go back to sleep. I'm awake, I say, into the plain, disgusting, utter whiteness of the room. I don't know why I'm so opposed to the idea of being an alternation of generation citizen. Maybe it's a sense of pride that I somehow deserve to live in my own body for all the years of my life. Maybe it's a sense of resentment towards those who forced me to do it. But I shouldn't be angry. After all, I am nothing but my memories.
There we are, a little bit from chapter one of Nothing But Your Memories. H.B. Clementine. Hannah is here today, a student at the School of Science and Math in Durham. You've been writing now for 5 years. In your
mm-hmm.
5-year career, how much have you learned as you look back over your career from the age of 9?
I'd say I learned a lot in the beginning just from reading more and more and growing from that early developmental stage where my ideas were just scattered little bits on paper. But the biggest learning experience was definitely writing because I realized exactly what it took to write a full novel and have characters completely developed out.
It is. I mean, you obviously enjoyed reading. You had stories that you really loved. And then when you sort of
mm-hmm.
start typing out your own, you realize, oh, it's not
exactly.
that easy. What about the psychology of this future world? I mean, this whole universe that you've created, did that come to you in the 4 weeks that you were writing, or had you visualized that universe before?
The idea was a lot older. And I actually, when I first came up with the idea, I had a first chapter written out in the idea of that world, someone else waking up and experiencing being in that world. So I'd already had the ideas and dwelled on them for a long time, although quite forgotten about it until I came back to it. to rewrite.
Another big change in the world that you've created from the world of our own is family life. It more
yes.
or less dissolves in, mm-hmm. in your world. Did you want to explore those relationships as well, family relationships?
Yeah. The idea is that everyone wants a clean slate. And although family is, of course, incredibly important, and to different people it's going to matter more or less, in transitioning to a whole new world, the idea was it'd be easier if you're not tied to the old one by relationships and familial connections.
As you wrote this book and then created these characters and developed the plot, did your ideas change?
My ideas did change. I don't think breaking up families is the best way to transition into a new world. But in the story at hand, it made sense and added to the conflict.
It seems to me that you're in a unique place as you write this book to see the importance and the interrelationships mm-hmm. of things that we often consider as kind of separate entities.
Right.
We have a memory. Mm-hmm. We have other identity markers. We have a family.
Mm-hmm.
The way they relate to each other and kind of work together to create and sometimes work against our identity mm-hmm. Is something we don't think about. Mm-hmm. You were forced to in this book.
I was.
And what do you think? What were some of the thoughts that came to
okay.
you? Some of the revelations? You know, you don't have to define all these things, but I wonder what some of the revelations were for you.
I guess I realized how very interconnected everything is, because your family is connected to your memories, because so many of your young memories are from your family. Social life interactions, like if you have no connections from your old life, you're having to make new ones. And I mean, I don't know. It's just an interesting concept to have to start over entirely.
Did you start to question some of your own memories? So many are actually planted by parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back and you think, wait a minute. Did I remember that? Or is that the story they told me about that?
I mean, I don't know. I've always heard, like, you can remember a memory and change it slightly in how you remember it, depending on how you think about it. And so I guess I realized how fickle memories might be. They can change depending on how you view them. Looking back.
So how have your friends and family reacted to this book now that it's out?
My family was really excited. I don't know. They've been interested in reading it. A lot of my friends have started reading, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. My family's been really supportive in helping me market and get it out to more people.
Today, I am talking with author H.B. Clementine, the author of Nothing But Your Memories, on the state of things. Are you going to continue writing? Is this going to be a career for you?
I don't know if it'll be a career, but I definitely plan to continue writing. Writing is something I love, and I don't think I could live without it.
Wow. You have any stories in the works?
I actually have finished a second novel.
Ooh, what's
yeah.
it about?
It's the same world, however, entirely different set of characters, and posed 50 years later.
50,
than this one. 50 years into the into
so this could be a series. This could
it
be
could
a series.
Be.
Yeah. And is that something you'd like to do? To turn this into a series?
Yeah. The characters from this novel are not carried through to the second novel. But the characters within the second novel and the story placed there has a lot of potential to be branched out into multiple novels.
Have you written stories that are more conventional in their time, in their place, and characters that are not sci-fi, for instance?
More contemporary? When I've been writing recently, I've been writing with the purpose of writing these books. And so my focus has been on science fiction, like further in the future, things like that. But before this project, like there were a lot of modern time, different type stories.
Like what? So what were some of the themes in those stories?
I guess more exploring life on a daily basis, much more normal and like events that occur in life rather than these bizarre events that you really wouldn't see happening for a long time.
Is that harder or easier for you?
It's harder because in day-to-day life, you have to pinpoint exactly what happens. And it's very easy to tell when something's fake because everyone lives life day-to-day. But in a far-off future, you can kind of create it how you want to.
In terms of the dialogue, mm-hmm. for instance, your characters, it feels very contemporary
mm-hmm. Yes.
and very, very young in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
When you start writing for, again, more realistic in a more realistic mm-hmm. time frame
right.
in contemporary times, does that change for you, the way you write dialogue?
The way I write dialogue has changed since writing this book, in seeing how people communicate with each other. But then also in modern time dialogue, you have to consider all the verbal tics that people use, all the common phrases. It's very different. It's interesting as well.
If there, if you were to become a writer and move into other areas, do you think you would stick with sci-fi? Is that a genre that you imagine yourself writing when you imagine yourself a writer?
in the foreseeable future, definitely science fiction.
Yeah.
But I have the ongoing note on my laptop that has all the different writing ideas, which are definitely not confined to science fiction.
Are you doing anything at the school, studying anything at the School of Science and Math that is in any way inspiring your writing or inspiring you to be a writer?
My American Studies class, which is English and History combined, the English portion of that class has really, it's opened my horizons to new works that I really haven't thought about before. And it's forced me to look and see how that impacts my own work and see how older works can still be applicable today.
Well, the nice thing about that, too, is that you also see art and literature in their context mm-hmm. so that you begin yeah. to understand, I would guess, how the times
relate.
Influence a writer and how a writer can influence their times, mm-hmm. Which could change. So what are you reading these days?
Well, one of my favorites that we read last trimester was Ralph Waldo Emerson's Self-Reliance, which isn't a story, but it's got very interesting thoughts and concepts in it.
Big thoughts, big themes, mm-hmm. all the stuff of writer Hannah Clementine. Her book is called Nothing But Your Memories. It is written under the name H.B. Clementine. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Hannah and her book at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Jess Clark, the intern. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.